is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. My hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of this universe, the one who's in control. He saved me and he will keep me to the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone. For less to stand before the throne, my hope is Jesus, the anchor of my soul, the ruler of the universe, the one who's in control. He saved me, and he will keep me till the end. The rock of my salvation, on Christ I will depend. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus. My hope is Jesus.
Thank you for the special. Appreciate that from the Mathis family. Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 15. Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 15. Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 15 reads this way. It says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, and in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to be in your house, and Lord, to call upon you to bless the service this evening, this time that we have to open up your word, and then later on as we come before you in prayer, may you open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, Lord, tonight, and then to call upon you later on. May you be honored and glorified, Lord, our lives empowered to be the witnesses you've called us to be of your great grace, and to share salvation with a lost and dying world, and to encourage one another. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is simply, This Work Was Wrought of Our God. This work was wrought or brought forth by our God. Listen, salvation was brought forward by our God. Amen? The redemption work, the sanctification work, the justification work, anything and everything that's any good comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and the triune God. And we thank the Lord for that. And God really will always bless those that are faithful or who have faith in him. And do you believe that tonight? God's all, listen, if we call upon him, if we seek him as he's called us to, will we find him? Yes, absolutely. So who do we want to have our faith in? Do we want to put our faith in man or in God? In the things that are passing away or on the things that are eternal? See, and every day we make that choice. What do we want to put our faith or our trust in? Do we want to put our faith and trust in the things that are temporal and passing away and just fleeting that we can't take with us, or in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ beginning with salvation? So tonight, as we consider our text and what we're going to look at here tonight, we find really the opposition of the work of God in the life of every believer. We see this specifically when Nehemiah was going back to help back with the reconstruction of Jerusalem and everything that was going on there. And so tonight we want to just take a few moments and consider a couple of thoughts here. And we want to back up a little bit here to verse 19 of chapter 5 and notice when troubles and trials strike, right? So we see here the end result was that
that it was the Lord that brought all this success to the people of God. But what happened? How did everything begin? Well, notice verse 19 of chapter 5. It says, "Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people." So he was serving the Lord. Remember, he was the king's cupbearer. And he found out that, listen, the city of Jerusalem was torn down, and God moved him to call upon the king to open up the way for him to go and build back the work that God wanted amongst the people of the Lord. And guess what the Lord did? He went and he asked him. He was a little bit fearful of what was going on, but he stepped forward trusting the Lord, and the king said, "Well, how long are you going to be gone for?" That was his answer. So he basically got the permission to go, and and all the provisions and everything that was taking place was at the hand of the Lord. But as soon as we start doing something for the Lord, mark it down, Satan's not going to like it. Amen? And then there are people that are in the flesh that don't know the Lord. They're not going to like it either. The world, we would call that the world, right? So Satan, the world, and we have the flesh to contend with as well. But tonight we're going to take a few moments here and just look at what's going on here. And we do know that Nehemiah went with a great attitude. He went with a purpose to honor the Lord and do good to the people of God. And in the midst of that, we find a dishonest distraction. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6 here, and notice what happens here. "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gate." So you get the picture. The wall's up, the gates aren't up yet, but the enemy is taking note of the success that's happening, right? There's good things that are happening for the people of God, and the enemies of God do not like that, right? And so now they catch wind of this, and notice what happens. Verse 2, "Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together." They sent to him, right? They're sending a message to him that they want to come and meet with him. "Come, let us meet together," verse 2 there, "in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief." So God is already on revealing to Nehemiah that they're up to no good, right? Here's what the Lord's saying. "I have given you a plan," amen? "I have given you direction. This is what I want you to do." And then all of a sudden here, we have mischief creeping up, right? We have a diversion here, a distraction that's not honest. And so notice verse 3, "And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you?" So that's important. He says, I am focused. I'm looking at what God has called me to do. I don't want to be distracted. And by the way, listen, do you think there's a little bit more distraction in the day and age in which we live than in the day of Nehemiah? My goodness, we have distractions everywhere, don't we? We carry a distraction. If you got a cell phone, right? We carry a distraction. And so the devil, listen, the devil's happy if we are distracted and we're not tuned into the Lord. See, that's his ploy. If he can keep us distracted, we won't pray much. Oh, listen, I didn't say we weren't going to church, and I didn't say we weren't opening up our Bibles, but we're not seeking the Lord as we are distracted, and we don't have our hands on the plow the way that God would have us, and if we're not careful, we get busy here and there. But he was purposed to follow the Lord, and then notice what happens, what he says here. He says, verse 4, "Yet they sent unto me," how many times? Four times. Remember, they sent unto him one time. Now, this is the fourth time that they sent unto him after this sort. "And I answered them after the same manner. I'm not going to leave the work." So listen, you heard about temptation knocking on the door and the devil leaning on the doorbell, right? And that's exactly the way the devil works. He's trying to distract us, trying to get us to take our eyes off the Lord and what he's called us to do. And by the way, listen, what is it about Christians? What is it about the people of God that makes them the people of God? Is it not their walk and their relationship with God? And how's that relationship work? Does it not work by the word of God and through prayer? That's where it works. So listen, the prayer life of a Christian ought to be fervent, or if we're not careful, and our involvement in the word of God ought to be disciplined and on purpose, or listen, we might find ourselves living a life that's a lie. The world would say, oh yes, those Christians, they read their Bible and they pray. And by the way, listen, they ought to be able to say this. And they get answers from God. And we look into their lives and you know what? We see something that's missing in our lives. In fact, they ought to see something that they would say, hey, I think I would like to have what they have. They seem to be content and they don't seem to be distraught and they don't seem to be shaken up by the things that are going on around us. They seem to have a confidence that seems to be coming from the Lord. And by the way, listen, as you consider this right here, that's what Nehemiah had. He had a purpose and he was not going to be deterred. He was not going to be taken off focus. And so the fourth time they come to him, verse 5, then Sanballat his servant unto me, he said, in like manner the fifth time. Did you see that? So this is, they sent again the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Now this is important. When you consider this open hand, that means it's been unsealed. That means everybody has seen it. So get this. They sent to him once. Then they sent three more times. Four times total. This time, get this picture. He's got an open letter in his hand. It wasn't an important message that was sealed for him to open up. It had. And notice what it says right here. Wherein was written, verse 6, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshemo saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. Did you hear that? In other words, Nehemiah, you're setting yourself up to be the king, and you're going to see here in just a moment that you're going to try to overthrow Artaxerxes, the king that you left from. And so notice what happens here in verse 7. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Notice, come now therefore, because of what I said. And by the way, when you see an open letter, here's what you know, other people have read it. When you see an open letter, he is wanting to send a message to Nehemiah that the messenger is not the only one that knows, and the people that sent it are not the only one that knows. This message that you just read, everybody knows about it. This has been broadcasted. So here's what he's trying to do. He's trying to frighten Nehemiah to come and defend himself. He's saying, come and answer to the accusations and the allegations that are being made against you. And that's the ploy of the devil. He tries to distract us, to take us away from the work of God, to defend ourselves. You know, God does not want us to defend ourselves. He wants us to trust him. And if we're servants of Almighty God, whose hands are we in? We're in the Lord's hands. So do we need to defend ourselves? We ought to be humble. Amen? We ought to walk upright before the Lord and trust him. See, when we run around trying to defend ourselves, we're not trusting the Lord. And listen, that's an easy thing to fall into. And God is saying, listen, trust me. I brought you here. Question, did God open up the doors for Nehemiah to come back to Jerusalem and help build the wall? Absolutely he did. Did he make provisions? Did he open up the king and the queen's heart that was right there and said, how long are you going to be? What do you need? He gave them everything. And listen, and so he's not going to be deterred. And mark it down. Listen, when we serve the Lord, there's going to be dishonest disruptions in our path. And it's going to be the opportunity for us to either trust ourselves or the Lord who's brought us to this place. And so it's important that we trust the Lord and not look to ourselves or to what other people are thinking or maybe saying, because that is the ploy of the devil himself to get us off track. So notice what happens here. Again, verse 7, he says, and thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now shall it be reported to the king of these words, come now therefore, and let us take counsel together. Now I've got a question for you. He's trying to threaten Nehemiah, is he not? He's saying, this is what you said. Question, did Nehemiah say any of that? He did not say any of that, did he? Question. So this is made up by Sanballat and Tobiah. And let me ask you this question. Does Sanballat and Tobiah know that they made it up? Sure they did, right? Sure they did. And not only did they make it up, but they spread that lie to impugn Nehemiah and to put him in a corner to glorify themselves and to cause the work of God to cease. And so it's so important that we are focused on what God has called us to, because there's all different kinds of distractions that Satan and the world would put into our way to keep us from doing and building the work of the Lord. The Lord, listen, is using us. Fathom this thought. Can you imagine this thought? God has positioned himself to build his New Testament church through his church. Amen. Imagine that. Does God need us to do anything?
No.
He does not. But he positioned himself to glorify himself through your life and mine.
Amen.
But our lives must be yielded to the hands of God. See, we yielded to the Lord for salvation, but now on a daily basis, we must be yielded to the Lord for him to fulfill his will, or we won't understand it. We won't hear it from the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll just do the Christian thing and we won't be hearing from the Lord. Listen, is it possible for believers to get caught up in a routine? And they just read their chapter a day to keep the devil away, and they just kind of make sure that they're always there. And as long as they're always there, they feel good. But is that growing in grace? Is that drawing near to the Lord and experiencing God using us for his honor and glory? It's not really, is it? So we need to personally say, Lord, I need you in my life. Or if I'm not careful, what I'll do is I'll get caught up in my life and forget about you. And I can get busy about a lot of good things. We can be busy about a lot of good things. And we're not talking about wrong things, but good things. And if we're not careful, we'll miss that good thing. Remember Mary and Martha? Martha was cumbered about much serving. Oh, she was doing a lot of good things. She wasn't doing anything wrong, was she? But listen, she had given up that better thing, and that was Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's where the Lord wants us to spend time with him, that we might be able to be used for his honor and glory. Verse 8, then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest. You know that report that he just gave about him? But thou feignest them out of thine own heart. You made that up. You made that story up. And he called him out on it. He said, listen, I want you to know something. I am not threatened and I'm not concerned about your letter that you wrote. See, Sanballat and Tobiah thought that letter was going to work. That was going to bring him to stop the work and come talk with him. Verse 9, for they all made us afraid. And by the way, it did make them afraid. Now listen, here's the faith part. Let's not get this idea that we don't contemplate decisions. The three Hebrew children, do you think, listen, they were steadfast, they were unmovable, but don't you know, they'd never been thrown into a furnace before. And they said, listen, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king, we're not going to bow. But they still were going to burn, right? They thought, anyway, God can deliver us, but if not, we're not going to bow. And so God intervened on their behalf, but that doesn't mean that they didn't go through this idea of, man, this might be it. Amen? How about Daniel? He'd never been thrown in the lion's den. But do you think he may have thought, maybe God's done right here with me. Maybe this is the end, but I will stand for the Lord. I will stand. And by the way, listen, God did deliver him. Amen? God is glorified to deliver us when we're serving him, when we're looking to glorify him. And so notice what happens here. Again, verse 9, for they made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. They knew what they were trying to do. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Did you hear what Nehemiah just said? Lord, we know what he's saying? I need you to strengthen my hands.
Amen.
Who do you need to strengthen your hands? And by the way, to strengthen your hands for what? Whose will? Ours or his? Amen? God's will. Lord, listen, one of the things that God wants us to have is, by the way, how did he say, shall all men know that you're one of mine? By the love that you have one for another. That ought to be the first focal point. You remember what Paul said? Paul said, you can have the faith to move mountains. If you don't have love, what do you have?
Nothing.
Nothing. You're just a noisemaker, right? So the first thing we ought to think about is walking in the love of Christ. To love others, listen, as Christ has loved who? Us, right? So we ought to, listen, and that doesn't happen automatically. Oh, well, I just love everybody. Really, really. Not without the help of God. We need the Lord to strengthen our hands to love Him and to love His people. And, by the way, to love those that would despitefully use us as well, that may not know the Lord, that they might see the grace of God in us and they might be pointed and turned towards the Lord through us, right? That is being yielded and trusting the Lord without an explanation. And so here he was in this situation. And by the way, he is glorifying the Lord. He was saying, listen, Lord, we were afraid. He's admitting it, isn't he? It did frighten us. But you kept us on track, and we want you to keep us strong. So, again, verse 9, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my... He said, they did make us all afraid. But, Lord, you strengthen our hands that you might keep us persevering forward in your direction. So, verse 10, afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Metabeel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God. Notice where this is coming from. Notice where this is coming from. This is coming from within. Listen, there was a dishonest distraction and a deception from without. There's also one from within. So here are the prophets. Here are the people that are in supposedly in right standing with the Lord. Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. They're trying to frighten him. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. Let's come meet in the temple. Stop what you're doing. We need to have a meeting. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Should I run? Who? What kind of man was he? One that was being led of the Lord. Amen. One who's trusted who for his strength? The Lord. Amen. And so he's not saying that there was anything in himself. God had already been working with him and using him, and he had yielded to the Lord. And he said, listen, one who's put their faith in God can't be fearful of the world. Amen. And so... notice what happens again. He says, verse 11, and I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. Now watch this. But that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had what? Hired him. He's a sellout. He's a sellout for whatever reason. For the money, in this case. And so here he is. They hired him, verse 13. Therefore, was he hired for that purpose, that I should be afraid and do so and sin? Did you hear what he's saying? If he would have stopped, he would have been sinning against the Lord. If we say we trust the Lord and don't walk in his ways, we're lying. We're sinning. And so notice what he says here, verse 13, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, this is a prophetess, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Prophets! And a prophetess, Noadiah by name. And he's saying, I'm not going to give in. Not going to walk in their way. I'm not going to succumb to their fear tactics. Verse 15. So the wall was finished. You know, God wants to do a work in our lives. But we can't be afraid of the world. And we can't be afraid of the devil, because God is stronger and mightier than any opposition you and I can ever face. And by the way, it's okay to be a little bit afraid, but don't waver in faith. Don't waver in faith. And notice what happens here. The wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in the 50th and 2 days. And it came to pass, when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they heard and they saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived, what? That this work was wrought of our God. You know why we stand? Only because of the Lord. Do you know why we will walk faithful? Only by the grace of God. Do you know why we seek to love the Lord and to love one another and to walk in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because God enables us. We cannot do that in our own strength. Our confidence needs to be in the Lord. Don't you agree? And listen, when our confidence is in the Lord, we have success. And God will bring it to pass. And he receives the honor and glory. An old story here. Many years ago, a little girl named Mary said to her grandmother, who was her only companion, "Granny, what shall we do this morning? We have nothing for breakfast." The grandmother said, "We will light a fire and put on the kettle and set the table and tell our Heavenly Father." The grandmother said, even if he turns stones into bread, we will have our breakfast, answered her grandmother. How could she have that kind of confidence? She walked with the Lord. Soon there came a knock at the door. It was a little old man. "Do you have such a thing as an old grindstone you can sell me?" the old man said. She did, and sold it for 10 shillings. The grandmother said, "Let us kneel down again and give thanks. Then you can run down and buy some food for breakfast." So the Lord did turn a stone into bread that day, didn't he? God can do whatever he wills to do if we will simply look to him, not us, and follow him in whose ways? In God's ways. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne thanking you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, and Lord, your great faithfulness to us, Lord. Such a humbling thought that you would choose us to walk and follow after you, that you might bless our lives and use us, Lord, to honor and glorify you. May we humbly yield ourselves a living sacrifice in your hands to be used for your glory, in your will, in your way. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.